Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be
magic.
Sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is Saturday, it's 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. Now today, I've got somebody on the channel that I've been wanting to interview for a very, very, very long time. This is probably one of the most inspirational people you will ever meet. I'm going to tell you right now, he's only 17 years old. I met him when he was like 14, maybe 13 or something like that. And he has achieved so much to help this community. He has achieved so much to help magic in the last few years that most people will by the very, very end of their career. At the age of 17, he's built definitely the fastest growing magic society in the world. It's an online presence. It's helping magicians all over the world get better, improve, enhance their creativity. He's built a real community vibe with people all over the world, and he's becoming so well known because of it. And you can see that when you see him walking around somewhere like the Blackpool Magic Convention, and everybody's going over to him and saying, "Alan, hey, nice to meet you." This person is so inspirational, and he is the perfect person to talk to on Talk Magic. I guarantee this is going to be one of your favorite interviews on the channel ever. I am, of course, talking about the one and only Alan. Dude, how you doing?
I am so excited to be here. I cannot follow up that intro with anything, but wow, thank you, Craig. You're an inspiration too. I hope you know that. Thank you so much.
Not about me. It's about you. And you are inspiration. You know, there's people out there that kind of sit and watch things happen. And then there's people out there that make things happen. You, my friend, have made things happen and then some. You constantly and continually push the boundaries. And, you know, when I first started talking about you, when Magic TV started, nobody knew who you are. Now everybody knows who you are. And you know, you've built the Magic Alan Society. It's growing from strength to strength. People of all ages are gravitating there, and the amount of stuff that you do, you know, you've got challenges. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You've got people that you're working with, like myself and David Jonathan, Nicholas Mavresis, Carl Purnell. It's like a who's who. Everybody wants to be working with Alan and the Magic Alan Society. So before we even start this interview, on behalf of the magic community, thank you so much for everything that you continue to do while you are 17 and doing like some real serious difficult exams. You're still keeping this this community going from strength to strength. People say I'm busy. I have no idea how you're doing what you do. No idea.
I appreciate that so much. I definitely agree with that. I mean, in the fact that I think it's really important at least once a while to like give back to the magic community, but especially like I always say this to people because there's so many like, you know, niches in the art form and like in arts, right? You've got music, dance, etc. But magic is actually so unique in the fact that you can say the music industry, you know, they have their own community, but the magic community, it's just special. I don't have a way to describe it. I wish I did. But it's so like special. It brings people together in a way that we all have this passion for this art form where we share things. You know, it's a one art form where like we hide things from others, but what that allows us to do is be really, really, you know, very, very close and very gentle, very kind to each other and share that, you know, grow the magic world, grow the magic community. And hopefully later I can talk about also why that's important to me, because growing the magic world, as I said, it's so small, but it's growing so fast, especially in the last few years, just growing. So thank you, Craig. Thank you.
Well, let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. Let's start at the very beginning. And I want to know about your origin story into magic. How did you get into magic? What Where did this all come from? It looks like you've been around forever, but you're only 17, so that's probably not the case. How did you get into magic? Where did the bug bite? Talk to me.
Let's do it. So, a lot of people, you get this question. I mean, lots of people get this question asked a lot as magicians, but I know that, like, a lot of people, you know, they have a grandmother or grandfather who started, or magic or something. I had those things, but that wasn't that thing that started magic. I had the most interesting story with, I always wanted to do something different when I was younger. I started when I was 10, but I wanted to find something that was unique. So I still played a music instrument, I still did sports, etc., but I still felt like something was missing. So I started collecting things, and I used to collect the most random things, like currencies or coins, different sorts of statues. And eventually, because I travel a lot with my family to lots and lots of countries, which I'm really grateful for, I used to collect like playing cards, literally decks of cards, but like from souvenir shops. So I have like a little drawer there with like cards from Croatia, Spain, France, every country possible. And then I realized at one point in my life, what on earth am I doing? Why am I collecting playing cards? What can I do with them? I just thought it was something different. It wasn't like collecting coins or something. So then I realized, okay, you know, I went on YouTube, I started searching little videos, and obviously, you know, there's two things you can do with cards. You either play games, or lots of people associate it with magic because people know what magic is. It's just, okay, they're associated with cards. Started going on YouTube, started finding things, and I started looking and started finding lots of stuff. But I didn't know back then, you know, you can buy magic. I knew magic shops existed, but I didn't know it was like such a big thing, where I didn't know there was like creators or lots of people. I thought magic was like 10 magicians in the whole world, you know? I didn't know it was that big of a deal until I started going on social media, etc., and I started to find out that this whole realm, this whole world, it's like Harry Potter is in real life. And over time, especially during COVID, when I didn't have as much to do, I started to experiment more, create the community, and it just became into from something I just wanted to do to a passion, which is like the biggest passion, biggest hobby, biggest thing I do. And I'm so grateful that I can actually go and perform, go and make people happy with something I enjoy, which just still to this day blows my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I want to backtrack a bit there because obviously you got that moment where you kind of go, okay, I really like this magic thing, or I've got all these playing cards. I don't know what to do with them. I need to figure out how to do with them. I'm going to go on YouTube. Did that? You say that you play musical instruments and sports and blah 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 blah. Did magic kind of like take over there? Because to the outside world looking in, it feels like magic is your life, but I know the perception of somebody from the outside looking in is very different. Like people assume that Ryland does nothing but magic 24/7, but is in the school team playing football, is in the chess club. A lot of people don't realize Ryland is awesome at chess. He's you know, he does so much stuff away from magic, but because people see it through that little window, they just think, oh, that's all he does. Is that the same with you, or are you just
100%.
like kind of I'd love to know.
No, 100%. It's just like you said with Ryland. People don't think that. So I think that's kind of like there's pros and cons of social media. Lots more pros. Like social media was like my number one thing. I think that's also one of the things that really pushed me in magic, like meeting people wise. But then again, if there's someone on social media, for example, they see magic on, okay, on Instagram, they're like, okay, magician. They don't see drummer. They don't, which I do, for example. They don't see, you know, me. So I think it's really important, especially nowadays when you perform magic. I think it's really cool to incorporate your hobbies, other hobbies, and let people know about that. That's just a small example. But to answer the question, definitely, definitely, definitely. I think magic became like it kind of absorbed everything. You know, it's like you look at my background, you see magic, no drums. You don't see, you see a, you know, magic. It's just magic. And I don't think I have a problem with that because it is my passion. It is the number one thing, 100%. That's, you know, who I think. If someone asks me, what's your number one hobby? I say magic, you know, and then I explain, you know, I tell them what that is to me. But 100%, I think it definitely, you know, it kind of overpopulates. I don't know if that's the right word, but like it is, you know, there.
Yeah,
That,
I
hope,
totally.
hopefully that answers that.
Yeah, it does definitely. And I thought as much. So when you started studying magic, you started like finding out about magic on YouTube, which is kind of really interesting because You know, there's a lot of people these days that say, oh, we should shut YouTube channels down. You know, it's exposure. And I've been very outspoken as saying, well, no, YouTube's like a library. There's so many people who wouldn't be in magic today if it wasn't for YouTube. Like,
Exactly.
what's your thoughts as somebody who's making a massive difference in this community and has come into it through YouTube? What's your thoughts on that?
Literally, with no ego, I'm saying literally, I wouldn't be here. You know, like I wouldn't have been able to make the difference, right? Like you said, I genuinely don't think if YouTube magic, like if I genuinely backtrack without YouTube, I don't think I would be in a position, or maybe I would have done magic, maybe somehow, but I wouldn't have. I think it was the starting point. It's like the big bang of my magic. You know, it's what. Let's start with this, okay? Lots of people, right, say that YouTube isn't the place, blah blah blah, exposure. 100% no, in my opinion. I'll say why. Like I said, it's a thing that starts a lot of people's magic. I think there's a difference between someone just going on YouTube to figure out how a magic trick works and then stops. Maybe that can be annoying, but then again, that's still, you know, showing people magic is a thing. Magic exists. Magic is cool. You might have someone see a YouTube tutorial saying, okay, magic trick reveal, da 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 da. They watch it, like, huh, magic is cool. Oh, now I have a birthday next week. Maybe I need a magician. Let me hire a magician. I don't know, that might be an overemphasized example, but then again, magic is just being promoted. And to us as a magic community, how's that a bad thing? I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't see, yeah, that's my say, I guess.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, 100%. So what was the goal when you first got into magic then? So you're watching YouTube videos, you're kind of finding out about this world. It's kind of like, you know, when Hagrid opens up the walls of Diagon Alley and sees, and you're like, oh my God, this is actually an entire universe that I wasn't even aware of. What was the goal at that point? Was it, I want to learn everything? Did you have a kind of, was it, you know, because a lot of people, when they find out about magic, it's like, right, I'm going to buy everything. I'm going to learn everything. I'm going to immerse myself into this. Or, and what was the goal in terms of, was it a hobby? Did you perform for friends at school? Was a goal to make money from it eventually? Like, you started learning magic, the bug bit. What happened at that point?
Brilliant question. I can tell you a little contrast where I am now and where I was, because where I am now, I'm just going to start with that. I do mentalism, for example, and I could say I'm definitely on this mix of a hobbyist and actually performing. So I think I would consider myself definitely a hobbyist, but then again, I do perform, but I live in a foreign country, so I have language barriers, but then again, that's not a big problem. I still perform in English, da 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 da. But where I did start, of course, and I think a lot of people do, they try, as you said, learn everything. You don't know where to start. That's also the question. Like, where do you start when you're in magic? You need guidance. So when you're on YouTube, for example, you have all these like videos, you know, they're not categorized, it just whatever appears, I learn, right? So yes, I would do that. I would perform friends and family all the time, get opinion. I think the first thing when you start magic that you develop is, you know, methods. You learn how a magic trick. You don't learn how to present it yet. Okay. You learn a magic trick. Okay? Done a magic trick. After time, what something that was so important to me and something still to this day, and I think lots of magicians would agree, presentation in magic is like here, okay? The trick is important, obviously. Presentation is what pulls up that trick, okay? It's the thing that pushes it up. It took me a while to realize that, but when I started performing to friends and family and I started changing the way I present magic, the way I don't know. The more storytelling I give, if I give a magic trick life, then people started reacting in a different way. And that moment, that even sm little smiles, little joys of happiness, that's when I realized what I'm doing is just phenomenal. It's like when I realized that is what I want to do. I want to make people smile like that. I want to make people react like that, because who doesn't want to make people happy? And then if I can do that and learn from it too and grow as a person, obviously you're learning other skills like creativity. I can now speak public, do public speaking so well. For example, at school, for example, I'm in my student council. I don't think magic, without magic, I wouldn't have been able to do that. It gives you skills that people don't even think about. But then again, there's just so many pros to doing magic. So that's kind of what pushed me at the start. And then slowly, 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 I grew. So that's a, yeah, an interesting response to that question, I hope.
That's great. That's great. So, I don't know the answer to this, so I'm very, very sorry if I'm asking it. Have you performed professionally for money? Is that something
Yes.
that you wanted to do? Is that something you do often? Is that something you want to continue to do as you move forward in your education?
Brilliant question. Yes, I have. Yes, I hope to do, especially the fact that I'm just about to go to university next year. And, I've told myself, I get this is the most common question I get asked after I do a magic trick, like by friends or something. Is this something you want to do in the future? And I'm like, I can tell you as a fact, at the moment, I can't say because you never know what could happen, right? Maybe I'll do this crazy show once and everything changes. But I do tell people at the moment, I have this other pathway I want to do in life, but magic will 100% be a part of my life. If I can do it just to perform for friends or family, I will. If I can do it for money, oh my gosh, the fact that I can get money for doing something I like, I mean, that's what you should be doing as a job, but the fact that people, you can like actually really properly enjoy something like that, that's just incredible. I mean, just cannot process that. So, yes, I have done a few shows. As I said, it's not as much as I wanted. That's the truth. Not as much as I wanted at all. Especially now in my stage in life, with school is like what I'm prioritizing. Magic and school, they're like a battle all the time. But I think I'm managing my time pretty well. But yes, in the future, 100%, I'd like to. And wherever I go, I will always perform. That's my answer.
Tick. That's great. That's a really good answer. Going back a little bit to when you first got into magic and you were at school, this is something that I've heard a few people have a problem with. And I want to know if you've had an issue with it and how you overcame it, because I think there's going to be a lot of people watching this that are new into magic. So one thing that Ryland said to me, he gets the question all the time when he was on BGT and AGT, he got the question, "Oh, do you perform magic to your friends at school?" They expect him to go, "Yeah, I perform all the time." But Ryland gets really frustrated because none of the kids at his school do magic. And so if he performs a trick, the only thing he gets over and over again is, "How's it done? How's it done? How's it done?" And they don't understand. He can't have a conversation with them about magic because they wouldn't get it. They'd probably be bored. So he doesn't really do magic at school at all, unless somebody like desperately wants him to do a trick. And it I know it frustrates him because he's got no one really to talk to about it. Now, he's lucky because he's got me. So every night we're just hanging around and we're just talking magic, and that's absolutely fine. But somebody who's like got, I don't know, muggle parents, should we say, that somebody out there that's getting into magic that doesn't have anyone to talk to about it, and they're finding magic, it is a very community thing. What do they do if there's literally nobody that they can talk to about this? Because that's when a hobby like this dies. People like football because everybody talks about football. It's a communal thing. It's a community thing. It's things that everybody will do. So it's a common interest, but magic is so niche. You can get into it on YouTube like you did and have no one to talk to about it. And that's when, people go, "Well, maybe I should do something else because I've got no one." Do you know what I mean? I'm kind of rambling.
You have no idea how happy I am you've asked that question. I'm really, really glad because magic in school, it's a long thing. I'm gonna try and keep it as short as possible, but genuinely, that is a big problem, especially for young magicians nowadays. And I'm so grateful that I have a lot of friends who are young magicians and they share similar experiences and they share this with me. All sorts. For example, as you know, Joseph, shout out to you, you legend. This guy performs at school all the time. I know it. He does it a lot and people love it, etc. And then I go to him and I'm like, how do you do it, Joseph? Because at my school it's very different. And I think I relate to Ryland a lot here because I have no one at school that has the same hobby. It's just so niche. It's like there's always at least, one or two or zero people in a school, in any school you go to that do magic. It's niche. So I think in the first few years, if I recall right, I would not be able to push myself to do my, like I kept it hidden. But then again, people knew because of social media, for example, that I was a magician. And one thing that I regret a lot, and anybody watching, don't make the same mistake as I did, they were the ones who actually had to find out that I was a magician rather than me being the one telling people. So what happened is many years ago, I think literally right after COVID, the first year back after COVID, right? first time I'm coming back to school in real life, people are realizing, oh my gosh, you created a magic account on social media, you're a magician, da 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 da. And they have this, you know, it's the truth, at least in my unfortunate experience, that people see the stereotype of a magician. They don't know how much magic has modernized in the last few years. It's not a guy wearing a cape and a hat anymore. That's, I don't even know historically how long ago that was, Craig. Maybe you can tell me, but I don't know. That was
1800s, ages ago. I think.
I don't know. I don't know. We're not bothered with that anymore. That's, and unfortunately, I get that stereotype so much, especially with, you know, teenagers, people under 18, etc. And hey, that's their job. They're teenagers. What can I do? Like, I'm not judging that. But I am judging the fact that I made the mistake, that I wasn't the one who came to school saying, listen, I have this new thing I'm working on. I saw this deck of cards in a shop recently and I started playing around and I realized, oh my gosh, I can do this crazy thing. Can I try something with you? I don't know, however you present it, it doesn't matter. However you introduce it, but if I was the one who introduced it to them first, I feel like they'd be like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And I know that because I have, you know, because I go to an international school, people move, leave all the time. And whenever some new person comes into school, from now on, I always try like and go for it, right? Because what do I have to lose? Something goes wrong, doesn't matter. I'm in school. What can I, you know, it's natural, it's normal.
Yeah.
But then again, I go to them and they're like, that's so cool. Whereas the people that, you know, think it's really horrible, stereotypical, annoying, I want to know how that works. I know how you did that. I know exactly, you're using this. Even in my mind, if I know that's not the method or whatever, I can't change my mind because that's how it works. It's a human brain, it's that simple psychology. So yes, I'm so glad that now I changed my approach, and anybody watching who feels like, okay, I'm in school, just go for it. Just go for, literally as simple as that sounds. You hear this advice a lot, I'm sure, but just do it and try something, see how it goes. Doesn't work well, find a group of people online that share the same interest. Ooh, maybe something like that. Maybe something like that.
Yep.
And that's what essentially, yeah, started my,
well, I want to get to that in just 1 second. But before I do, I've got one other question.
100%.
You mentioned that you've gravitated towards mentalism, yeah, which is a unusual kind of avenue. You mentioned Joseph. I mean, Joseph is incredible. He's an incredible. He's one of my, I would say Joseph is one of my favorite magicians of all time.
He is mine too.
Yeah, he makes me feel sad that he's better at me than me at the age of whatever. He is. I'm 48 and he's better than me. It's annoying. But like, you know, you look at Joseph as a perfect example. He's super visual, you know, his yeah, stuff is just ridiculously, yeah, visual. Mentalism is not something that a lot of young magicians gravitate towards. Yeah, yeah. So what made you go down that route?
100% tell you. I have an answer to that. I get this asked a lot. And I started with magic. I think to this day, maybe like 5 out of my 7 years have been magic. Like mentalism has just become really, really recent. But the conversion of magic to mentalism was really quick for me. I did magic a lot, a lot, a lot. Like most of the tricks I own, for example, when I started, are magic. I still perform magic. I still learn magic. I still buy magic. Doesn't matter. I love it, okay? I think something about magic is just so special because it's more visual. It's more, there's so much more you can do. But then again, mentalism is just a branch of magic. It's not a different thing, right? And people sometimes, you know, they say, oh, mentalism, magic. No, mentalism is a part of magic, but mentalism, right, is way, way more. It's all about, magic is about your presentation too, but mentalism is like, the presentation is just there. If you don't have a presentation, there is no magical moment. You have to convince someone. And I'm not saying like Uri Geller stuff. I have a very different style of presenting mentalism. I like to tell people simply that everything I do is influencing you. It's all psychological, eye contact, body language, whether that's true or not. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Doesn't matter. That's us magicians. But mentalism just connected with me so much more, especially when I became right 16, 17. You say young people don't. They don't, because it's just tough to do at such a young age, like to present it. Like you have to speak a lot, which I do. So it's like, I started performing magic one day. I started changing my presentation. I did some mentalism and I just realized that people reacted in such a different way. They started connecting more. And that's what I really enjoy about mentalism, that it's magic still connects you, but mental doesn't really connect you with people, whether it's revealing something super personal to someone or just making them feel like they're part of something special, just like your trick of Vogue. I can say 100% why doing a Vogue, for example, I connect with people's emotions. Where with magic, it's just a different reaction. I think if there's any mentalists watching, they'll know what I mean in the term of magic makes you go, wow. Mentalism makes you go, whoa. You know, it's just a little thing. It's a little thing. But that's what I connected with. And ever since then, I just love mentalism.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. And I suppose, what would you say is the big difference between presenting mentalism and presenting magic? What would you say is what's I don't really do mentalism. I do mental magic, but I don't really do mentalism. But somebody who's done both, like, do you, in terms of maybe there's somebody watching this that's trying to decide which path to go down. Like, do you have any advice?
Advice-wise, do both and do what I did. Do both and see. Like, don't do both. You have that's a tough one because you're gonna try magic and mentalism, but again, mentalism is a part of magic, so it's like try your presentations and make them like more personalized. So to make something more mentalism-y, whatever that made up that word, you have to like really, really, really start connecting to someone. So try and do something where you start playing around with their emotions. Start doing something where, you know, these are the mentalism cliches, I guess, star signs and stuff. Something which I haven't done a star sign reveal for a long time, for example. But still, I started with that, and I think it's still great. Something phenomenal in mentalism. Just haven't found the right thing for that. So I think that it's really, really important that you find how you want to present something. And honestly, I don't have a specific answer, I think, to like the differences in presentation. I think, yeah, I don't. But I will say that when I present mentalism, it's usually definitely like I say, I'm gonna read your body language, your eye. And people believe that. Even if it's not true, I think it's still a moment of magic. It's still a moment of entertainment. People go, whoa. That's incredible that you can do that. You know, that's incredible. Well done. So it's definitely a little more serious, maybe, but you can still make mentalism fun. But yeah, that's a tough one, yeah, for sure.
Okay. And have you ever performed on stage? Because obviously, stage magic is when I got into magic, everybody did stage magic. Close up wasn't really that much of a thing. It's like I remember being 18 years old and living at home and desperately trying to save up for a chair suspension. Like that was the stuff that I kind of grew up doing. And then over years, close up has been the thing that everyone gets into. Because it's more accessible, you can perform close up immediately. But I'm slowly seeing a switch back to stage. Like Ryland, for example, he doesn't hate close up, but he'd be happy never to do it. It's all about stage for him. Like, what? Why do you think, especially with younger magicians, there seems to be a switch back to stage? You know, you look at people like Joseph, who again, an incredible stage show, Cillian O'Connor, people like that. Nia Evans, Aidan McCann, obviously the goat himself, Harry Merlin Piper. Like there's so many young magicians that are gravitating towards stage magic. Why do you think that is? And have you ever performed on stage? And if so, what do you prefer?
Brilliant. First of all, being friends of all these incredible young guys, definitely I know that both of them, they all do close up and stage. But as you said, they definitely, there's this big involvement in the stage magic. Like Joseph performs close up, like absolutely phenomenal stuff that just, if you're in Blackpool, go to Joseph or any convention. If you ever see Joseph, just go to him and ask him to show you a close up trick, okay? He'll blow your mind. But stage magic, if you see the guy, boom, this guy does some crazy stuff. I mean, so
The
creative.
last time I saw him on stage, he made his
Yeah.
dad appear.
Yes. I know. I
Who
know.
does that?
I've seen that.
Who
Brilliant.
does that? Who does that?
I don't know.
Does his dad appear on stage? Like, what the hell?
And that is my number one point about stage magic. The fact that it's so it close to magic, creativity wise, you can do so much. But stage magic, it allows you create a show. Close up, you know, you stage magic gives you a show. You go to a musical, you go to a theater, it's a show. It's on stage because it's a show. You get an experience. Close up is still an experience. It might it, you could do a long 20-minute close up piece to one person. I've done that, doesn't matter. But stage, it gives you a whole different vibe. And I think that's why people are adjusting, because it lets you create more of a personality, more of an atmosphere to your performances. Like you look at Joseph, they all the, for example, the YMC stuff everybody is doing recently, everything, every single person on the Y in the YMC who's on a stage thing right now, they all have some sort of theme, right? Even Ryland obviously has had a theme with Harry Potter, right? You've got a theme that on stage that you can express really vibrantly. And that's why I definitely went to stage. I've been doing stage more than close-up recently. So that's definitely true. Because if I do perform, and as I said, hobbyist, if it's friends or family coming over to a house, I go to someone, blah, 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 it's close-up. But what I do say is, I even make my close-up sometimes into like a parlor thing, not really a stage thing. Like I literally have the, I don't know, in the living room, sit on sofas. And I bring, you know, my, I have like a music stand, which I use for this big board, for example, just to make everything seem bigger. Even it just makes things seem bigger. It makes things seem more important. And to me, that's just been great. So at school, I do a lot of, I just literally go to our school, like head of year, my head of year, go to her and say, is it possible during Christmas, we might have an assembly or something, is it possible just for a 10, 15 minute slot for me to do a show in front of the whole year group or in the whole school? They usually always agree. I've done like the last 3 years, like every Christmas assembly we've had, and I have recordings that it's been so much fun, and it allows me to create something different, even if it's for 10, 15 minutes. Stage just lets me do something bigger, and that's what I love. So stage, 100%, amazing thing.
Amazing, 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 amazing. And how do you, I don't even know the answer to this. How do you theme a mentalism act? Because like with Harry Potter, it's like, right, okay, Ryland, dress up in a robe, wave a wand around, make a feather appear, float a hanky up in the air, job done. Like, how do you theme a mentalism show?
That's so tough. That's so tough. I could tell you this. Actually, I've only done one proper full-on mentalism show, because I do say I'm a mentalist, but if I do stage magic, I feel like 90% of that stuff is magic. But I know you love and definitely what's the word? You push, let's say, right? I think you've done a video about it, how important it is for especially young magicians to compete recently, enter
Yes.
competitions, right? I think you had a really good video on that not too long ago. And I was watching that, and I was just going, yes, Craig, yes. Because I, for example, the YMC is amazing for that. I'm not there, but here I'm in the Czech Republic. They just had the first like this magic festival, which apparently they've had for every 2 years, which I didn't know about. I went there and I competed there for the first time in my life. That's the only time so far I've competed. It was literally earlier this year in May. I have the thing here, and I did a 10-minute mentalism act, the first mentalism act I've ever done, and I struggled. It was really hard to create something, because I told myself, I present myself as a mentalist, so. If I recall, what I did with that show was, because it was two magicians, I also targeted towards magicians. It was about the magic police catching me from revealing magic. It was a really odd plot, and I think if to this day I could definitely work on it much more. But what was really cool about it is I revealed what I was revealing to the magicians, you know, running away from the magic police, and I had, you know, Joseph and our community do sound effects and music for me. It was really fun. And I was revealing like the three aspects of mentalism, which was influence, mind reading, and forgot the other one, the last one. It was something else. Influence, mind reading, and something else. And I was revealing the aspects of mentalism. And as I was doing that, I did a trick with influencing someone, reading the mind like a book test. And the third one, oh, it was prediction. It was prediction, obviously. Oh, how could you not as a mentalist? So, and which was my big reveal at the end. And obviously, in the end, I had this like plot twist when I obviously didn't reveal anything because the magic police caught me, blah 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 blah. So it's a really odd, different, unique thing, but that's how I incorporated it. And I think in the future I would still, you know, try and mix it up as much as I can. But building a mentalism show, oh darn, it's hard. But yeah.
Amazing. That's amazing. So, now the question. What made you decide to set up the Magic Allen Society? Where did that come from? And I kind of almost need an origin story to the Magic Allen Society as well as an
Definitely.
origin story for you. So, What happened? You know, everybody's a member now, but where did this all start? Tell me all.
I'll tell you all. So, the community originally, I founded it 4 years ago, and we were on Discord. And I'll tell you exactly how that inspired in a second. And then we created an actual community, and I'll say what that really means, in my opinion, 2 years ago. And we're celebrating a 2 year anniversary in November. And it's grown a lot. But originally, and I said, I started learning magic on YouTube. And I said earlier too that I did not know there's a magic community, there are other magicians in the world, etc. And for a long, long time, I think it was like a whole year or something, I still didn't meet magicians until even on social media, you know, I need the program to recommend magicians to me, etc., like to see that. So over time, I just realized, okay, if I cannot find, and genuinely true story, it was as simple as this. I could not find a group of magicians. So I just said, okay, if I can't, if there's no magic communities out there, because I didn't know if there were or not, whatever. I just said, okay, let's do something bold. Let's create one. If I cannot find people, I'm gonna bring them to me. Simple as that, you know? I'm not gonna go and make friends. They're gonna come to me. It was just a little simple mindset. And obviously, I had this horrible mindset that, you know, it's a joke, nothing's gonna happen. And who knows, you know, you gotta take these risks in life or nothing will ever happen. I did it slowly, maybe in a week, I had like one person join. And then it started doubling and doubling and tripling. And who knew in a year's time it would like on Discord, because I didn't know what platform to use, what to do. I didn't know. It just grew like crazy. I don't even remember how many people we had in 1 year. And then 2 years, it just grew crazy. And thanks to those people, it's how I found out that there's magic shops. There's that, like, because of that, because people were already in the magic world, in the magic niche, they were the ones who introduced things to me. And I was like in shock. And that just started this whole chain of reactions until where we are now, which is at over 1,000 magicians, which is just crazy.
That's amazing. That is so good. Oh, wow.
It's my biggest achievement. It's the thing I'm most proud of in the world of magic and in the world of non-magic. Especially lots of people ask me, like, people ask me, where do I learn magic? And that's always a tough thing. They're like, oh, did you create this or did you do that? I'm like, it's tough. But then I say, well, I have this thing that I'm really proud of to non-magicians, to laymen. Well, I have this community of magicians where we just teach each other stuff. We all share each other stuff. We grow, we develop together. And people are like, whoa, that's so cool. So it's another thing I can, you know, tell
And
people that
for
I'm really
people
cool
that
at.
don't realize, that have never been a part of the Magic Alon Society, like the stuff that you have going on in there, I mean, this is your chance, man. Promote the hell out of it. Like, I've done like super long lecture, my one and only lecture to magicians on business and a business acquisition was done within your community. I've done a magic lecture in your community. I know you've had some of the best magicians in the world do exactly the same thing, but that's just scratching the surface. Promote the hell out of this. Talk about
No,
what happens in there and
100%.
how people can join.
No, I love to. I love to. But here's the thing, Craig. Lots of people ask me, like, okay, this is so cool. You run a community, but you know, this must cost something. To me, the number one thing, and here's the thing I tell people, okay, I'll just like reveal that obviously tech sucks sometimes. Okay, there you go. No, now I've just skipped through a bunch of stuff, but here you go. It's free. And I'm just gonna say why it's important to me, because number one thing, when I told you, I started magic. I was on YouTube, that was free. I started finding people, I needed something free. I feel like learning magic should be free. Why on earth? It's like, I don't know. Like, it's just, it will, and I know you made a video about this too, that, you know, there's so many places where you can learn magic for free. And it's good magic too. Some people, like, yes, you said YouTube. Oh, it's horrible, it's horrible, it's horrible, it's horrible. No, it's not. There's some really good places on YouTube. Yes, some people might not know how to teach properly. That's a different thing. But some people just blow my mind in how much value you get. So to me, it was so important to give magicians a place where they can just join, interact, grow for free. And yes, I said, we have a Discord channel, for example. We have magic jams every single week where we just chat, we play games, we play all sorts of things, we watch reviews, we do some giveaways. We even created this really weird game where me and Joseph, it's called Fool On, Alon, Fool Us, Fool On. So proud of that name. literally Penn and Teller version of Fool Us. And we did a live version of this in Blackpool. And we just had people sit around and try and fool me and Joseph like Penn and Teller. Obviously, me as a talkative one like Penn, and Joseph is just a little quieter as Teller, and he's the one who knows most of the knowledge. Like, I get fooled easily. He doesn't. So we're just sitting there, and we actually code. We try and code things. It's so much fun. Sometimes it just comes out funny. And I don't know, people enjoy it. It just lets us do something creative. We have resources where we just have so much. Like, I'm not even gonna, there's just so much I can't go over it. But then again, Craig. You did the most coolest lecture ever. You just said you taught business, you taught magic. We've had Eric Stevens, which again, recently releasing some of the most phenomenal stuff. I'm not gonna go through all of these because there's just so much. David Johnson, Nicholas Kyle Parnell, Wayne Goodman, Chris Rollins. Literally, the list is endless, and I'm just so proud of it. And all of that, it's just free. And I think that's the number one thing for us in magic because people come on to do these events for us because for the sake of magic. The magic community should grow. The magic community as a whole should develop. And it just makes me so happy seeing people happy. And you know, that's really as quickly and as incredibly I can say all of that.
That's amazing. That is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it really is. It's unbelievable what you've achieved. You said earlier on, you said that you're 17, you're in your final year of school before you go to university. It's a constant battle between exams and studying and magic. And then you throw the community into the mix. And let's be honest, Joseph's in the same boat as you. It's not like Joseph's 17 as well, doing
No,
exactly.
he's 100% the same boat as me.
Yeah, it's in exactly the same boat as you. And you guys are, I know that you are two of the people that are leading from the front. Like, how do you find time for this?
I'll tell you how. That is, I get that question so asked so much. I genuinely like, I think time management obviously as a skill in life is so important, but like I just get things done. But then again, working with people that share like an incredible passion as you is incredible. So as you said, me and Joseph are on the same boat. I have to give a shout out to my team here. We have Joseph, and then we have another incredible person who's literally, because me and Joseph are 17 years old, running this community, which is absolutely incredible. Then we, as a joke, I would say the adult, right, of the community. We have an incredible guy named Thomas Shalev from Israel, and
Oh, I've met Thomas many times. He is so such
he's
a
just the most
nice
friendly.
guy. He's so
He's so
great.
friendly. He's so nice. He's Alakazam's number one customer. And Peter and Harry love him. He's just so great. I have to give him credit for literally so much because he was also one of the first people. I knew Joseph for quite a while, literally when I started the community on Discord. That's why I met Joseph. And then Thomas came along and he will also help push us to create the actual community from Discord. We moved to a new platform where we can host all the events, the games, the lectures, whatever, all the resources. And he's like literally, I say, the creative director, you know, because he comes up with all these ideas. He comes up with everything. And he deserves so much credit for everything he does. And together with him and Joseph and the community, because they help out, they want to help out, they always do. So, together with that, I can just peacefully say, I can focus on my school, knowing that, you know, I have an event coming out in a week on Zoom or whatever, some le a lecturer. I can say we have a resource coming out next week, sure, and I can still focus on school, and then I can attend the jam on a Friday evening. So it's just trying to manage your time well and knowing good people is so important, and that's what the community lets you do. Everybody is a friend of another friend. Like, we're all friends. We're all like a second family. Yeah, that's what's special.
That's fantastic. So I want to talk about your personal goals, but first of all, let's talk about the community. We've been talking about the community for a little while. What are your goals with this community? What because it's gone from strength to strength, especially in the last 2 years. It's getting more and more members. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Bigger names are being attached to it. What's your goal, Alan, with it? Like, where do you want to see it in 6 months' time, in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years? Where do you want it to go?
A big thing I struggled with seeing from a lot of magic communities online is, and I'm not gonna go over it here, like what the definition of a magic community is, because I have a quite a solid definition of that. But I think I see so many communities eventually, even if they last for a year or two, they just eventually, I'll say die, because they, either don't manage to, they say they promise like, okay, weekly events or monthly events, and then they just aren't unable to keep that up or whatever. My biggest goal is not to let that happen. I've told myself we've been running for 4 years now successfully. We've had jams started 4 years ago. We haven't, it doesn't mean I'm there every week, but it means that literally for 4 weeks they've been happening straight. Like there hasn't been a time where there wasn't a jam, at least one person or two, you know, in the weekly jam. That's what I think is really important, is to make sure in the future for the community that we keep growing, we keep learning, and it doesn't die out. And I think it won't. I don't think it will. I think even if I get busy in life, even if Sectra, Joseph, Tommy, it doesn't matter. It will always, always, always be there. It will always grow. We'll keep getting the incredible people we get and release more creative things too, like new types. That's something that I also try not, I don't want to just do lectures or something. So we have these things called like live sessions where we just go over a certain category in magic and then we just jam about it, just that one category. And we create all of these new different types of events, different things to be, you know, unique, to stand out.
That's
Yeah.
great. That's fantastic. That's awesome. And on that subject, let's talk about your new initiative that you've launched. And this, if this isn't a reason for people to join the Alon
Yeah.
Society, which is free, by the way, then I can't think of anything that would be. Can you talk to us about your new creativity challenge that you have running in
Yeah.
the community?
I am so proud of this. I'm so proud of my community, but in terms of projects, everything, this is by far the biggest thing we've ever done, because Craig could tell you he knows how to create. And then we bring on these legends right here, all in one thing. It just blows my mind that we managed to do this, because these four legends, including Craig, again, just want to support the community as a whole, just want to make magic even better. And we fought a long time with our team, like, how can we bring out something that's so unique? And we thought of an issue. We started thinking, what's an issue in magic lots of people face? And the first thing, and I swear, me, Joseph, and Tom all came up with the same idea, because we know is there, is the fact that lots of magicians struggle with creating magic. It doesn't mean you should create magic, but if I'm being honest, you should. And that doesn't mean creating a magic trick, you know, a physical thing. It could even mean a presentation. Make magic unique, because if you go and buy a trick right now and you do exactly what they teach you, exact same presentation, exact same thing, it's not you, because deep down, even like it might be amazing. You know, the creator, right? They could have an incredible presentation. That doesn't change anything. But maybe to yourself, you'll be like, oh, you feel guilty. Oh, that's not me. Why? Even adding the smallest things. So no matter how someone defines creativity in magic, that's what we wanted to help people with. And then we said, okay, we need four geniuses to help us out. And obviously, I'll come back to this, but we brought the incredible. Ah, no, there you go. Now it's skipping. Craig, Kyle, Nicholas, and David, Jonathan. And what all four of you share are completely different viewpoints on creativity. And that is what's incredible about it, is the fact that we can have. There's over like 4 hours of videos, by the way, on everybody's to video total count, whatever you want, just teaching you what their viewpoints on creativity are. We've even got David Jonathan has a separate 30-minute video on how to pitch magic to companies if you want to go down that route, because why not? It's just, there's so much, you know, I could go over. Essentially, it's just summarized here what you learn how to produce an idea, getting methods, fueling creativity, presentations, making things practical, pitching magic, so much. But the idea is as simple as giving you a month long journey, 37 days, to take an idea, whether you have one or not, and actually create it, even if it's as a presentation. And the reason it's called a challenge is because, unlike a course where someone just watches or doesn't watch, they get it and then they don't watch it. You instead of being passive, it's proactive. It's very, very proactive. You do stuff, and that's designed by us seeing your growth and development. So if I skip forward, oh my God, my presentation is so poorly done, but here you go. We have these checkpoints, and what it means is it starts on the 27th of September, by the way, and ends on the 3rd of November. For an entire month, we have these checkpoints, and they're unlocked gradually each video by each person unlocked. And you learn very, very slowly, giving you time to create, because Craig, you will tell people 100% that you it's sometimes it takes years to create a magic trick. Sometimes it could take a day. Sometimes it could take a month. Sometimes it could take years. Creating magic is not easy, but we're giving you a month to try and get your ideas together. And if you don't finish, that's totally fine. The thing is, you're doing it for you in this challenge, not for us. You're creating magic for you, and that's the number one thing. But to those people who do take it like a little bit more seriously and just for a little angle of competition, this is crazy that we're doing this. But literally all the revenue of this thing is just going towards this because that's how important it is to us. It is literally, we have free prizes, free winners that we're going to choose. And the way we choose winners is so simple. It's literally by seeing your growth and development, because that's so important to us. It means we want to see your starting point and ending point. If you tell us, and we like test it by people answer forms and stuff at the start, we ask you like, do you have any initial ideas? Someone might write, yes, I'm thinking of creating something with candy, but I don't know what. And then at the end of the challenge, they actually make something with candy. That just shows us that you have proactively done something, and it'll increase your chances of winning or etc. But again, for us, it's so important for the magic world to learn how to create, to learn how to develop, and just enhance your creativity. And we really hope this challenge lets people do that. I mean, there's just so much. All the information is on the page, and I'm so proud of it. And Craig, last thing I'm just gonna tell people is, I don't know when this video you guys are watching is, but we have told people, to keep it fair, that if they register before the 27th of September, because it's a month-long thing, it will expire. But if they do register before, they'll get to keep all the stuff forever. But Craig, I've done a cool little thing just for fun for Magic TV people, that I'll give them an extra week if they sign up on the 4th of October. And I'll give you a link. I'll give you a link to put on the video description. Or if you go on the channel and use like discount code Magic TV, for example, it will just let us know that you're coming from this video, then you'll still get to keep things forever. And I just think that's important too. And I don't know, I'm just so proud, because for me, the number one thing is letting people create and become better
Absolutely.
magicians. So it's a lot, but I'm proud and it's phenomenal.
I think it's phenomenal what you're doing. I think it's absolutely incredible. And I firmly believe in this. I think more people should be creative. And I haven't mentioned this to you, but on for the winner, for the first place, I saw
Okay.
the $500.
Yeah, I have. Oh my God, the stuff we're literally giving someone lots and lots of magic.
So what I will do, have you heard of the, you know, the Netrix?
The net, what's that, Craig? Would you like to tell me? The
Well,
literally the coolest place ever.
what I will do is I will throw in
Oh
a
gosh.
lifetime silver level subscription to the Netrix to first place winner, a 1 year silver level subscription to second place,
Oh
and
dear.
1 year subscription to bronze level for third place.
And more reason for you to sign up, guys.
You win and
Crazy.
you'll get lifetime membership forever to
That
silver, which is 30
that's
quid a
crazy.
month, which is £360 a year. You're going to get that forever for
And
life.
I'm just finding out about this now, guys, because Craig is phenomenal. Okay. Oh my
There you go.
goodness. People are gonna be so happy. Wow. Yeah, I'm just so happy with this challenge. It's just something, it's something new too. I don't think I've ever seen a whole kind of thing about creating magic before. I know lots of people have talked about the subject, but not in this way before. So that's what I'm
You're
excited about.
putting something together which is causing people to get off their arse and actually do it, which is amazing.
That's the main thing. That's the main
It's
thing.
true what you said. I've seen so many Discord channels die, and I've seen so many communities die, and your community goes from strength to strength. And I think the reason that a lot of these communities die is because the person who set it up is no longer present,
Yeah.
and they tend to be the driving force.
Yeah.
And with your community, it's not just you, it's your team, and everybody is
Exactly.
pushing in the right direction. It's amazing, really.
Exactly.
Which is
Exactly.
why it will go on, which is why it will go on forever. That's incredible. That's incredible. Just another reason to join the society. It really should. Now, but let's talk about you. Before we wrap this interview up, let's talk about
Yes.
you personally, just in terms of what your goals are. I know that you're going to university. But what are your goals in this magic community? Look, if you decided to leave magic tomorrow and never do anything in this community
No.
again,
Yeah.
ever, this, you give up magic, whatever. The people are going to remember you for a very long time. Your name is attached to the number one community in magic, for God's sake. Like you have done more. I would argue to say that you have done more at the age of 17 than anybody I know. Like, it's ridiculous. But I also know that you're very driven, you're very passionate, and you love magic. And I know that you're probably not going anywhere. Not only are you not going anywhere, I know that you've probably got goals that you want to hit. But I also know that it's not just magic that's your life. I know that university is very important to you, education is very important to you. I know that you love business. I know that you love marketing, as I do. So what are your goals? Where can you see yourself going? What do you want to achieve, both inside and outside of magic, moving forward as you finish school and go to university? What are the goals moving forward?
First of all, I'm so curious to see the owl in like 10 years' time watching this back and seeing, what's gonna happen. But the interesting thing is, obviously, nobody knows with these things. Like I mentioned this to you earlier, but I cannot know because you cannot know. But goals-wise, of course, my biggest fear, literally, I adore aside magic, inside magic, yes or no, public speaking, being a leader, that sort of stuff. That's always been important to me. I've always been doing that in school. Even before magic, in magic, it's just been so important to me. And being someone inspiring is something I've always wanted to do, literally to inspire people. I don't know how, Alan, you're watching this right now in 10 years' time. I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how you're gonna do it, but I do hope when you're watching this that you have inspired people more than you have right now and just made something special. As I said, in university, etc., is so important to me. I wanna lead. I love marketing. I love business. That's something that just drives me because it makes my brain gears move. It makes me start thinking. I cannot just sit there and do nothing. I constantly need to do something and make my brain move. Like everything needs to process. And that's what I just love about magic, about being, a human being, is that we can do all these incredible things. And in the future, I just hope I can continue doing that, grow, become something, I don't just want to sit there and do nothing. And if anybody's watching, you should do the same. Genuinely, just do something, whether you have or not. Set yourself a goal, set yourself a target, and achieve it. Do it.
That's great.
Go for it.
Really, really good. And you talked about creativity an awful lot. Have you got a desire to create and pitch your own product at some point in the future? Is that something you'd like to do?
100%. 100%. Me, Joseph, and Thomas have all agreed that we are also going to take part of the challenge. I have set myself a goal that I'm literally, it starts in like the 27th of September, so this Friday from when we're filming this. And literally, I'm going to start on the 27th, end of the 3rd of November, and push myself, motivate myself. That's what giving myself, that deadline. It might not be done by then, but I want to definitely try and create something. I've created a lot of different stuff, but it's never been something, I just stopped. I did something, stopped an idea, and lots of people do that. And that's also what the challenge will help with is if you did have an idea in the past, work on it. Don't stop. Like bring it back. The challenge will help you. So I'm gonna take part. I'm gonna try and create something. And hopefully, you never know, maybe you'll see a little package of Alan on it next time. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows?
Well, I know there's a lot of producers out there that would bite your hand off to have
Yeah, I've got a little idea and it's sitting right in front of me, but that's my challenge idea, and I'll be sharing that with people hopefully soon.
That's great, man. I am so happy for you. I'm so happy for your success.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for sort of what you've achieved. And what you have achieved is a very difficult thing to do. Build a community, build a tribe of people, build a brand, especially a young age. And it just shows with the people that are in the community with you, they're not just young magicians. You've got people of all ages, and they all come together because they believe in your vision. I mean, that is phenomenal. And that is what it's all about within this community. I see people posting all the time going, oh, magic's getting destroyed, magic's getting ruined because of exposure. No. Magic's in a better place than ever before, and it's in a better place than ever before because of people like you. and because of other people like you in this community that are making a difference. You know, like I said at the very beginning, there's people that watch things happen and there's people that make things happen. And you, my friend, are somebody who has gone out there and time again, you've walked the walk as well as talked the talk, and you have made things happen. And you are a shining light within this community, and it's why I will continue to shout from the rooftops about you and your community and everything that you've achieved, because it is nothing short of phenomenal.
Craig, I'm literally just dying here in happiness. Like, what is going on? Thank you so much. And I just do want to say to, especially to everyone watching, that, and you know, I've said this a lot to you, but I want to say it here again. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the inspiration you've done, especially to the people like me who are under 18, young magicians like us, but everybody, and I can say this on the behalf of my community, who say it to me a lot, to pass on to you too, just the amount of stuff that you've managed to achieve to the magic community. I'm not even talking about the amazing tricks you put out, but absolutely everything. It just lets us just grow, elevate in our success or whatever. So it's just so inspiring, and thank you so much for everything you've done. It's
You're more than
all
welcome.
about that. It's all about that. It's all about that. I've got some magic love for you there. There you go.
Oh,
Some
look at that. You know,
sprinkles
this
of magic.
bad.
Spread the
I did.
magic, guys.
You know, I
Just a
wish
fun, just a fun.
my setup was as advanced as you. You've got little slides coming in, you've got hearts coming down, you've got all of this stuff. I have a wall behind me. I've got I don't have a radiator anymore. I do have a radiator. If I go down here, there's a radiator. It's got towels on it, sitting against the wall. And you've got all of this stuff, and you've got hearts, and you've got stuff. I don't know. I'm a dinosaur, man. That's what I am. I've got a laptop and a voice, and that's it. But
I can do it on you. We can do it here. Wait, let's try. Let's try. Here you go. There's Craig. Guys, Craig, are you ready for some confetti?
I'm ready. Give me the confetti. Oh, wow. Yes. My life. I can actually quit
Life is
magic now. I can quit magic. I'm happy. I got a confetti bomb. Live on a Talk Magic. That's all I needed. That's all I needed. That's
exactly.
awesome, man. That's awesome. Thank
Perfect.
you
This was so
so
much
much.
fun.
Thank you so much for coming on the channel. Thank you so much. Like I've said before, if you ever need me to do a video, if you ever need me to talk about something, if you ever want to promote the community, Magic TV is at your disposal, because honestly, out of a sea of people that are doing the wrong thing in this community, you are doing absolutely everything right, my friend. So
I'm so
congratulations.
grateful. Thank you.
Please continue the good work. And I know whatever you choose to do in the future, you're going to be insanely successful, because I kind of think that's how you're wired, to be honest. I don't think you've got any other choice. I think it's just
Thank you so much.
it's true, man. It's true. And I want everybody who's watching this video to do me a favor. Okay, first of all, three things. Number one, very important. Go down below and click on the link and subscribe to the society. And then once you've done that, go and join the creativity challenge. That's number one. Two, make sure you regularly attend all of the society. It will make you a better magician. Okay. It's as important as doing anything else. It's as important as watching Magic TV or whatever it is. You know, watching Paul Gordon do an Elmsley count for the millionth time, whatever it is, it's as important, if not more important. And then finally, when you've done all of that, follow Alan on all of his social media as well. And then leave a comment down below. Let Alan know what you thought. I have really enjoyed this interview. It's been one of my favorites, and I'm sure it has yours as well. So do me a favor.
100%.
Please take 2 seconds to leave a comment down below. And I will be back again next Saturday. I'm back tomorrow. I'm here every day.
Always.
Always here. I'm never going away. I'm here everywhere. But
Exactly.
go join Alan, because what he's doing is just equally as amazing. Alan, thank you once again for joining us on Magic TV. You're amazing, man. You are amazing. On behalf of Alon and the Magic Alon Society, my name's Craig Petty. Thank you for joining us on this Talk Magic. I'll see you again very soon. My name's Craig, and this is Magic TV.
Magic, magic,
and the world
magic.
of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week, we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.